Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. As a matter of fact, we may call our new live show our Truth is Our Bitch Tour.
That's bitching.
Yeah, man, you put that on a T-shirt. God damn, excuse me, I said the GD. I said GD, I don't know if Dan was going to dump that or not, but I said damn right is what I meant to say. Anyway, Truth is Our Bitch, and we are here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's... did that?
Yes, you already said that. That's...
All right. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. That's our fan page. You can go over and like it, and, you know, we'll keep you up to date on things that are happening in and around the in and around downtown Phil Hendry.
What does that mean, downtown Phil Hendry? I mean, I like it.
I don't know. Just pretend like I'm not only a guy, I'm a city, you know?
Yeah, you're a city. Everybody's, well...
What are you trying to say?
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
I was going to make a joke about you having a fat ass, but you don't have one no more.
Ah-ha-ha-ha, there you go. Can't make no fat jokes anymore, can you? No.
That's okay, I'm just making about Robert now.
I'm not fat, man.
Don't you look at me like that.
Yeah, bud, the fat jokes around here are out, man. They are out. Because as of today, 214 pounds. What about that, huh?
You used to be the biggest, fattest slob that I have ever seen in my life.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Well, it's true. You were Ask anyone that knew you. You were an oaf. A fat, slovenly, sweating oaf.
I don't doubt it. You know, you can make all of those comments and...
Well, you were going to call them insults.
Yeah, they are insults, and that's what you're saying.
No, they're not insults, Phil. I'm saying that you used to be.
Yeah, but you're saying it used to be. You're saying it now because you feel free you can do it. Yeah, you feel free and understrained and everything.
Understrained?
I mean unstrained.
Unstrained? You mean unrestrained, bud.
Okay.
Is that what you do? You feel unstrained? I mean unrestrained?
I feel now I can tell the truth. You were a fat, sweating pig. Yes. And every time you came around me, I thought, oh, God, he's going to sweat.
You did not. Tell me the truth. You really did.
I was disgusted, yes.
Well, I got to tell you something. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I was a fat, slovenly slob. And now I'm so good looking. I got to put on shades before I look in the mirror. You know?
Well.
I'm joking. Come on. I'm kidding, all right, all of you, because I know there's going to be people sending me emails about how ugly I am. I know I'm ugly, but you know what? I'm skinny ugly now, and I don't care. And I feel better, and it was fantastic, and I did it, man. I haven't done it yet. I still got 4 pounds to go.
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, give yourself a break. You've done it. You've won.
No, I have not. Not till I get to 210. Then I've won.
What about Halloween? Say you're going to get the candy.
That, if I'm not at 210 by Halloween, I got news for you, man. No Halloween.
Oh, come on, man. You got to give yourself a break.
No Halloween.
What if I came over to your house with a bag of those, and I know what you like. You like those Reese's Pieces.
I won't go near them. You got to understand something. It's been since March 19th. I can turn down anything. I can turn down chocolate cake, cupcakes, you name it.
Yeah, but you said you had a cupcake on that one birthday party you went.
I went to Allison's birthday party, and I'll tell you why I ate that cupcake. Because I was really having a blood sugar issue. I hadn't eaten anything. And I'm not telling anything out of school. I know people know that I've occasionally, as I've said to everybody, if you break your calories for the day, you got to burn off, you know, the excess the next day. Like today. I'll give you an example of today. Today I went over maybe by I went over 150 calories today. Tomorrow I knocked that off of my 2,000 for tomorrow. So tomorrow I'm only going to have 1,850 calories.
So you're denying yourself.
Well, it's not really denying. I went over. I was hungry tonight. I knew I had to do the show. I wanted to get some protein. We'd done a rehearsal. I burned up that much energy just walking back and forth on that stage.
By the way, when are you going to tell us about that one-man show?
Margaret, one question at a time, please.
I want to get it into my column. Now, you are going to give me the exclusive on this, aren't you?
The exclusive on what?
I want an interview. I want photographs. I want backstage.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Okay, you do.
Hey!
I'll kill him.
Ow!
I don't care. You want to fire me? Go ahead.
Bud, what is it with you, man? You always ask for it.
She said she wanted to get a backstage.
I didn't. I'll kill.
Hey, hey.
Woo!
What was that?
Hold on. You pitched me in the ass, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. Ow!
All right, take it outside, then.
Come on, we'll take it outside.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Robert, go outside.
I won't go out there, man.
Are they fist fighting out there?
Yeah.
How's that feel?
What are they doing, man? Go find out.
All right. Hey. Hey, come on, man. That's enough, Margaret. That's enough. He's had enough.
Call me that. I say I want a backstage pass, huh? Say you're sorry.
Come on. He's had enough. Sorry.
All right, then.
What happened?
He had him down, man. She's kicking him.
Margaret.
I will not stand for that.
Where is he?
I left him where I found him.
God.
Yeah.
You know, you and that, you knock the guy down, you start kicking him.
Well, guess what? That's how I go. All right, I go. You know, I don't know, Phil. I roll that way. You don't like it?
That's okay. So that's great. I want to tell you something. At some point, we're going to stop having you guys in here. I can't start every show with someone getting their brains beat in, someone being thrown to the ground and kicked in the gut, someone... Every show, you in the bathroom last night...
What happened in the bathroom?
You had a plugged-up toilet, and every other word out of you was what you had for lunch. Do you have a chisel? Do you have a sand shovel?
Well, Phil, what did you want me to do?
Never mind, okay? I don't want to hear about it. Last night I have you in the bathroom. And by the way, we had some very nice comments about your singing, except for one guy. Last night Margaret sang I've Gotta Be Me by, who the hell was it?
By, what do you mean who? That was Sam Davis. And
you mean Sammy Davis?
No, I prefer the racially friendlier Sam Davis.
Not Sammy Davis Jr.?
What did I just say?
So, in other words, that's racially offensive.
I think so.
Why?
Well, you're black.
Yeah, but they called me Robert.
Well, they called him Sammy. There's a big difference. And by the way, Sammy, as you well know, is a racially offensive term from South Africa. And I think Bud one night... Bud?
What?
Oh, stop.
Gary Dancy kicked me.
Well, you know what? You asked for it, man, with that whole backdoor backstage thing.
Yeah, Phil's saying it. You're not doing nothing.
He's the host of the show. What is the term you thought was funny from Gandhi?
What do you mean?
When the man came and said Sammy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's pretty funny. It's when a guard comes to get Gandhi, or I mean Gandhi, and Gandhi's in South Africa, and down there, they call an Indian guy or a black guy a Sammy.
Why?
I don't know. It's what they call him. Anyway, the guard comes in, he's looking for Gandhi, and anyway, he goes, Gandhi! Gandhi! I want Gandhi! Which Sammy is it? And then Gandhi goes to talk to Mr. Smut, and...
What do you mean, Mr. Smut?
That's the name of the guy that ran the prison!
No, that was the prime minister of the country at the time.
I thought it was the prison guy.
No, Prime Minister Smuts. I think he was a general, but he was also the head of the country. And he's the guy that Gandhi was dealing with. So they called him a Sammy, huh?
Yeah, he goes, Gandhi! Gandhi! Which Sammy is it?
Oh, God, the way you just did that...
Yeah?
Well, who cares?
Well, it wasn't accurate.
Well, who cares? Maybe the guard down there in South Africa was a stuttering, mumbling clown, too. Anyway, thank you very much, Bud. I'm sorry that she... But you know what? When you open your big, fat bazoo, that's what happens, man. Welcome to our show anyway, folks. So as I was trying to say, in fact, I don't even know what it was I was trying to say. Oh, yes, I do know what it was I was trying to say. A couple of notes. First off, tonight on our radio show, we're going to have Mr. Raj Fanin. He is a businessman from the environs of our city here. Mr. Fanin from Egypt, a immigrant working here in the country. We're also going to have Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California, talking with us about... some of the items in the news, and Steve Bozell joins us as well. Steve has hired a new attorney, and I had no idea, but Dean Wheeler, who is with the Northern California Holistic Center and Practice now. Did you see this?
Well, I saw something in the news about... It says Dean Wheeler, Esquire.
Dean Wheeler has taken up the law.
You're kidding.
No. Dean Wheeler is practicing law, and apparently it started when he was thrown in jail as the result of that heroin arrest, And I asked him, when did you start studying the law? He said, when I was inside and I had some help from some smart guys in jail, and I started reading up on, you know.
What is it, man? Carlito's Way or something? Is he trying to say he beat the rap?
I don't know if he beat the heroin rap. I don't know what he, yes, his attorney, but he, that's, anyway, he's representing Steve Bozell on a couple of things now.
Well, that is interesting.
It is. So we're going to have Steve on, and we may have Dean Wheeler's attorney on to talk. All coming up tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876-7445. Although our call screening computer is completely shot, so you can call, and I would know, you know, sort of psychically that you're calling, but there's no way I can see that you're calling or answer those calls. But I will spiritually feel it, you know.
You can feel it right here.
Where?
Right here.
You're pointing it.
Do you want some more?
Bud, are you an idiot? I'm pointing at my heart. Yes, Margaret, thank. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
You're pointing
is
at your
bitch.
Private area.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Come on, now. Welcome back, folks. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lots to get to tonight, but I wanted to play back a segment from the show last night because I had an exchange with somebody over on the Facebook fan page who said that to compare you to Kate Bush was an abomination before God and man.
He did not say that.
Well, it was sort of like that. He said he didn't like your singing.
Well, that's a far cry from saying...
I know, but, you know... And I said, but what did I do? I defended you, didn't I? Didn't I?
Yes, you did, but it was a left-handed, very left-handed. You did it with not only a left hand, but you brushed. It's almost as if you did it with a left hand and you brushed one cheek of my...
Here we go with that whispering again.
Oh, you heard what I said.
All right, well, fine. Here's Margaret last night singing by Sam Davis...
Yes.
I Gotta Be Me.
What?
It's called I Gotta Be Me.
Yeah, called I Gotta Be Me.
Well, what's Whether I'm Right or Wrong?
It's the first lines of the song.
Oh, okay. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Oh, God.
Two, three. Ooh, yeah. All right, I won't do the sexualization. You don't like it.
No, I don't. I don't. It's...
Well, don't get all grossed out, Phil. God.
Okay.
Okay, one... Two. Ooh, woo! Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. That's my touch.
Uh-huh.
Whether I find a place in this world or never be. Long, bow, I've got to be me. Woo, I've got to be me. Yeah, man. Whatever, you see, and it goes like that.
Right, okay, that's from last night.
Well, what's with the face you're giving?
You can't hear how ridiculous that sounds?
I thought you defended me to this man on Facebook.
I did, but I'm telling you, I did. I said you had a good voice, and it's like I told you last night, I thought you had a good voice. But that whole, yeah, man, I don't know.
Oh, I'm not, Phil, I'm not going to justify my art, and I'm not going to justify my application of my art, nor am I going to justify the way I deliver, apply, and indeed live my art. I'm not going to justify...
All right, you're not going to justify to me what you do.
Exactly.
All right. Nonetheless, that's Margaret Gray, and we're going to turn that into a download, if that's okay with you.
So long as it isn't what I think, I don't like that word.
Doesn't mean anything dirty, you're talking about...
Well, I don't like the word.
It doesn't mean anything salacious, Margaret. For you to get upset with the word download is a little ridiculous.
I can say I don't like the word, can't I?
You may say you don't like the word. I will continue to use the word.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Would you stop using that word?
No, I will not. No, I will not.
Even in mixed company. What is so funny?
Margaret, the word download, everybody use the word download. You, God!
Robert, why are you angry at me? Of all the people to be angry at me, you're the black person in the room.
And that's another thing. Just because I'm black don't mean I think I got to like you. Just because you think you're defending me.
Well, look, are you really crying?
I'm very... Yeah, see? See? People can yell at you, too. Shut up, man. Just because I'm black doesn't mean you're going to sit there and take for granted everything I'm thinking. Oh, will you knock it off?
You're not buying it?
No, we're not buying it. All right, so anyway, welcome back to our radio show here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So we had a login problem last night with the website. We've gotten that fixed. We really do appreciate. And it's just a matter of us moving from a small platform, which is kind of our ma and pa platform, which is... basically just my small little broadcast concern, and we're moving over to a larger company, which is Levity Entertainment. And while you do that, there's going to be some bumps in the road. So we appreciate the patience that all of you have shown us. If you'd like to be a member of our Backstage Pass family, you can go to philhenryshow.com. This week we are becoming Apple compatible. To those of you with iPhone and iPads, on-demand video will be Apple compatible. We're really excited about that. We are grateful for your patronage there. And let's see what else. So all kinds of audio, all kinds of video, all kinds of news, all kinds of Phil Henry Show news, and some specials. In fact, we just got our BSP of the Week's prize mailed out, a beautiful Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, and we'll have another BSP of the Week coming up tomorrow, Friday. We will announce that. We also had a rehearsal of our one-man show, which is really exciting. And to that end, I wanted to ask a lot of you guys, and we'll post something on the website, but we want to get ask this question. At some point, we are going to want to put out a book of Phil Henry show lines, but we don't know whether it should be a book of Phil Henry show lines, or should it be a book of Bobby Dooley lines, you know.
Well, why in the world would...
Margaret, don't get upset, okay?
Well, I'm a little bit upset.
Well, because she's ripped off some pretty good ones.
Yeah, you said you didn't want to be quoted.
That's got nothing to do with it. I just don't understand. Why her?
Because she said some pretty funny stuff over the years.
Name one.
Name one? How about Steve only beats me when I burn the chicken?
Oh, that's a riot.
I like that line, man. Well, I've used that line a million times.
That is pretty good.
Even Dean Wheeler later on tonight has had a great line.
What's he got to do with it? In other words, why isn't there a book about lines that I've done?
Because you don't want to do one, because you're above that.
Still and all.
Yeah. The whole half hour of the show has been about you, and it's bothering me, okay? Let's take the focus back over to Phil where it belongs. Do you mind?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. So in any event, we're wondering whether we should have a best of Phil Henry best show lines book, or whether we should have a Bobby Dooley best of Bobby Dooley lines book. But we'll sort of ask that question in a more formal manner over there at facebook.com/Phil Henry fans. Okay, so we are going to have on the show this evening Mr. Stephen Bozell, and we are going to have Dean Wheeler with us here. And this has got really nothing whatsoever to do with anything having to do with show lines or anything promoting the show. Dean Wheeler, as we mentioned, has taken over representing Mr. Bozell in a lawsuit. It's difficult for me to talk about this because this has to do with the Y2K episode.
Oh, is he still...
You mean he's still upset about that?
Yes. He's upset with the fact that he was laughed at. He's upset with the fact that it never got reconciled with the attorney that he had at the time. He's upset with the fact that that we laughed about it on our show. He came on this show. He talked about it on this show. And yet he's upset with the fact that somehow, in retrospect, we shouldn't have laughed about it. Steve, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good, sir.
Now, your legal action is against who?
Legal action would be against Mr. Roy Hutchins and his wife, Peggy, who they've lived next door.
Like Peggy Simpson?
Oh, there are no Peggy Simpson.
That's Marge Simpson. You talk about Peggy Hill?
No, Peggy. Who's the one on Simpsons?
Marge Simpson.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
The one on Simpsons is Marge Simpson. I don't know who you are, but...
Okay.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
No, not everybody.
Yes, everybody, bud. So anyway, so Peggy is his wife.
Yeah. Now I'm thrown off by...
Okay, well, we'll talk to you here in a minute. Just collect yourself. I know that Dean Wheeler, we're going to get him on the line. He is your attorney.
Probably.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Is that it?
No, no, I'm going to talk to you. I need you to hang on.
Oh, okay. Well, how come... I'm confused now, sir.
Just hang on.
Hang on to what?
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What are you angry at?
I'm angry at getting something fixed around here. That's what I'm angry at. I want something fixed around here. I got a computer. I asked to get this antivirus program off of this computer I don't know how long ago, and this has stymied the greatest minds in the Phil Hendry radio universe. They wouldn't know how to do that, man, if I put a loaded shotgun to the heads of their firstborn. Somebody put an antivirus program on this computer. The dumbest bastard that ever walked must have done it. Because not only can I not get rid of this antivirus computer, they put it on at a time when I'm doing my show, the antivirus program is activated. Now it is ruining every possible thing that I try to do. Everything gets shut down so the antivirus program can get run. Even if I put it on pause, even if I close it, even if I exit out. And, you know, if I ask professionals to come in here, professionals now, you know what that is, don't you?
I assume it would be a broadcast professional.
Yeah, if I ask professionals to do it... Well, that's going to take forever, and they may not even be able to figure it out, because for some reason, over the last several years in this business, we've run plumb out of broadcast professionals. Now we've got Radio Shack jackasses, Geek Squad, and a bunch of slobs. These guys, they couldn't fix, man, I'll tell you, they couldn't fix an electric toothbrush. So now I have this antivirus detection results, huh? And it's picking up on everything. I asked somebody to come in here and at least find a schedule, and this has stymied people. They can't figure out, well, I can't find a schedule for this. I don't know where it is. I got a call screening computer that is broken, so we don't screen calls. Now, that's not a problem. I can do a talk show 3 hours standing on my head. I don't need phone calls. I don't need phone calls dragging this radio show down, okay? But the fact of the matter is, it has a DSL line attached to it, which means internet access. So essentially, I'm paying for my own internet access here, because this thing can't get fixed. You can't fix a computer around here in less than 2-3 weeks. It's got to go through 58 different guys, and it's got to be cleared, and it's got to be this. I've never seen a bigger bureaucracy. It's worse than any Obama bureaucracy you've ever seen in your life. Some American companies, ladies and gentlemen, are, you know, I can't believe the American business... bitching about Obama. Some of your companies out there, ladies and gentlemen, are worse than any Obama bureaucracy that you've ever seen. You think I'm kidding? Try and get your money back for a washing machine you bought. Try and get some warranty service on a piece of equipment that you purchased. Try and get some warranty service on an automobile. See what happens when you file according to the rules of the company, when you file some kind of a customer complaint. Find out what happens. I bet you it is... It's an amazing education in American business, because for all of their crying and complaining about taxes and red tape, there are American companies, big American companies, that have more red tape and more horse dung and more, hoops you got to jump through than any government agency you would ever care to hope to even think about. So I don't know where they get off with all of this belly. You know, if the government would just get off our back... That'd be great. And then we get you off our back. One of the problems we have as consumers is we're dealing with you. You buy a product, and I'll tell you something, man, it's an amazing thing how fast suddenly everybody's gone. They're just vanished. See, this is one of the reasons, this is why I get into trouble, because I talk about stuff that's real. I don't talk about fantasies. I don't talk about the fantasy land. And one of the things that I don't do is I don't rely on the fantasy land of how Obama's screwing everything up. Yeah, I get it already, okay? Enough already with Obama. You're making, give me a headache. People sound like a bunch of grandmothers out there with this Obama thing. You sound like a bunch of little old ladies. Get out and do some work. Get up off your ass, go out, do some work. And forget about whether Obama this, Obama that. Some of these people, I think, are mentally ill. I read a thing. I'm telling you, I read a thing. Somebody went to a rally. They went to a rally. They went to an anti-Obama rally. And they had been, and why were they there? Because they'd been unemployed for the last 3 years. Hadn't drawn a paycheck in 3 years. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you haven't drawn a paycheck in 3 years, you have a mental illness.
Well, you can't say that.
I just said it, didn't I?
Well, you're going to get into some trouble for that.
Well, am I going to get into some trouble? Do you know what would happen if I didn't draw a paycheck for 3 years? You know, there's a lot of days that I'd wish that I wasn't drawing a paycheck. There's a lot of days I wish I wasn't drawing any breath, to be honest with you.
Are you talking about suicide?
Oh, I'm kidding. Come on. But there are days when you don't want to get out of bed, and you go and you do, right? Now, I'm pulling down money. It ain't the best, but I'm keeping things going. Who the hell are these people that haven't drawn a paycheck for 3 years? I read about this couple, okay?
Well, Phil, it's tough out there for people, although I will say that I appreciate you defending President Obama.
Well, I'm not defending him so much as I am offending, if you'll allow me, and purposefully so, offending the constant harangue that I hear on talk radio about Obama. Oh, and I get it. Okay, great. You know what we ought to do? We ought to go in and just send in the mystery shopper to all American business. Just how well is American business being run? Don't you think that that's a valid question?
I don't think you'd ask about American business.
Yeah, American business run good.
Oh, is it now? Is American business run good? Well, I beg to differ. I don't say that free enterprise is a bad system. I think it's a fantastic system. I don't say that capitalism is a bad system. I think it's a fantastic system. I'm just telling you that occasionally, you know, in the grand river that is free enterprise and capitalism, sometimes a part of that river comes down the pike, and it smells a little bit like the sewer, you know. It's not exactly the pure crystal drinking water that we're told it is. What if the government just quit this and quit that? We'd have the government quit this and quit that, huh? You know, for every guy that says the government ought to stop doing this, there's another guy saying, I'm glad the government did that. The government made it easy for us to give loans to low-income people. That's fantastic. They lowered the interest rate and made it, and all the banks really benefited. You know, really? Except when everything went south, and all of a sudden, it's Obama and the banking, and of course, Bush. Now we have, a whole new reality. Now we've got Obama and the red tape and the big government and this and that. And I realized, you know, enough is enough. And I encounter more red tape and bullcrap every day of my life just dealing with private business. Private businesses that are supposedly run so fantastic. Well, I got news for you. Some of these private businesses, you might as well be dealing with the DMV, man, for all of the bullcrap and the hoops that they got to make you jump through. How many forms you got to fill out? How much time you got to wait? They're ordering a part. They're ordering another part. The guy told me it would be early this week, and that's going to be later next week. Sorry, but, you know, times are tough. Oh, is that right? Okay. One of the things about these times being tough, a lot of these businesses out there ought to thank their lucky stars that times are tough, because that just gave you excuse number 643 on the list of 1,000 great excuses to give somebody when you can't get a job done. There's a new one. Times are tough. I can't get enough guys. You know, there's not enough people out there. That's when times are tough. Now, when times are good, there's not enough people out there. They're all getting hired. When times are tough, there's not enough people out there because, the economy's changing, the entrepreneurial blah, 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 blah.
Well, Phil, you sound like a socialist there.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do, because you are actively taking on private enterprise. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty good.
I don't. You're an idiot.
Call me an idiot, man. I'll clock you worse than Margaret did.
Well, what do you mean? I don't know what you mean.
Oh, get out of here, will you? You don't know what I mean. I'm not anti-business. I think business is where it's at. Let's do the business, huh? Like in the Godfather?
Yeah, let's do the business.
Yes, that scene with...
Yeah, that's right before Luca Brasi got stabbed in the hand, man.
Yeah, that's right before Luca Brasi got the knife right through the hand. They said, for the business, right?
Well, is that what you're proposing, to lure American business into the business of Phil Hendry and only to suddenly wrap a piece of piano wire around their throat and, while they slowly strangle to death, sink a knife deep into their hands so that it pins them to a mahogany bar somewhere? My God!
Wow, that,
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, is that what you're proposing?
Yes, that's exactly right, Margaret. I don't even know what you just said. You know?
Talking about, are you proposing to go into...
I know what she said. No, I'm not proposing to go into business with a guy by figuratively wrapping piano wire... wrapping piano wire around his throat and then stabbing him through the hand. But, I gotta tell you, so, you know, don't give me this horse dung. I'm so sick and tired of it, I could puke up. Now, I understand we have a presidential election coming up, which, of course, is very important. But it's not life and death. I repeat, it's not life and death. America has had presidential elections before. America has made bad decisions before. We've elected slobs before. The American people have put some real slobs in the White House, haven't we? And we put some real good ones in the White House, and we put a whole bunch in between. What are we voting for? Utopia? Are we voting for Valhalla? Are we voting for a perfect world? Are we what? Do you think the country's not going to survive? Every bloody 4 years, man, I got some guy telling me the country isn't going to survive.
Well, there are very important issues now, Phil. There is a war on women.
I will tell you this much. Some of the stuff that's going on in some of these states makes me sick to my stomach. But you know what? Thank God, I hate to say this, folks. Thank God I live in California.
Yeah, we're going to get mail from people. You can't say that.
Yeah, you should never say that.
Well, okay. Well, thank God I don't live in Virginia. How's that?
That's better.
Okay. Thank God I don't live in the state of Virginia, which is something happened back there. I guess Virginia decided, you know, we used to be Old Dominion. They've got bullcrap laws on the books about things that have been legal for years. They're trying to, in their own little way, outlaw abortion. They're trying in their own little way to, you know, essentially control how, you know, women are dealing with their own personal health. It's pretty amazing to see. It's pretty amazing to see. All right, let's take a break and come back. Stephen Bozell was going to get on the line with me, and I don't know what the hell happened to him, but he'll be on the line with us. Where is he?
Been waiting on a line for you.
Okay, fine. We're going to get Steve Bozell here in just a moment. World famous Phil Henry Show to talk to us about a pending lawsuit and his choice of attorney, which is surprising. Mr. Dean Wheeler, the Northern California Holistic Center and Practice. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. Stephen Bozell is joining us here, and we're glad to have him with us. He's at Carmen's in the Inland Empire in Corona, which is a jazz club. It's good to talk with you, and I know that you're with Dean Wheeler. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hi, Phil.
Hi, and you're out at Carmen's to see Emeralda?
Yeah, Phil, we were very happy to bring out Steve and his wife, April, and they are our guests for Emeralda's performance here. We have the early show, and I think we might stick around, Steve, huh, for the second show.
Yeah, very enjoyable. I'm enjoying it a lot, Phil, and we do appreciate Mr. Wheeler making this time available to us.
All right, now, the question I... thank you for cleaning up that line, bud.
Yeah, another open line.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Phil, I can hear you well.
Okay, because we had another line open. Dean, one of the big shocks that I had was that you were or are an attorney, and I did not know that.
Well, I was not really, I had not taken the bar exam until last year, and it wasn't anything that we wanted to trumpet. I'm sorry, he's playing that cornet again. Then I have to go up and talk to him.
This is your wife singing?
Yeah, that's Emeralda, and the same bugle player.
That's not a bugle in jazz.
Well, that's what you say, but it's got a curly... It has a curly round part.
Let's call it, if I could say.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
It's called a cornet.
Okay, it's a cornet, okay.
Yeah, it's not a bugle.
Well, I don't care what it's called, if he keeps playing that, if he keeps blowing that thing in her ear right at the moment when she lyrics trying to sing. In any event, Phil, I took my bar exam, and one of the reasons why I got involved in becoming an attorney was because I had been arrested, as you know, Phil, and I was arrested for heroin possession and with intent to distribute, to sell. And I met a lot of smart guys in the joint. I did some reading, and I was able to get out and turn my life around.
You know, we were just talking about you, Dean, with one of our favorite quotes from the show. It's a little rough, and some people may misunderstand it, but I think it has great meaning. I haven't hit a woman since I've been out of jail.
Yeah, and Phil, I thank you for understanding that. What that means is essentially that jail
works.
Jail works, yeah. It worked for Dean Wheeler. And Emeralda, as we've got a problem with this piano player. Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Dean?
Hold on.
Dean?
Jenner, he's got up. He walked over to a... I'm sorry, sir. This is Steve Bozell.
Well, Steve, it's good to talk to you. So are you hiring him to sue Mr. Hutchins, or...
Actually, Mr. Henry, this is a overall consolidation. Tell him not to do that to the piano. I'm sorry, Phil. I don't want to hear that tinkling piano thing. That's what he does. I don't know. Is that what he does? Well, he doesn't do it with my wife singing. Hi, Phil. I'm sorry. So what were you gentlemen talking about?
I was just telling Phil that that I've hired you. excuse me. That I've had.
Could you not lean into the?
Well, what's going on?
Well, we're using the same phone, and so he has to lean in, and it's. I'll say it. Your breath.
Oh, forgive me. I'm very sorry. I've got a Clorox here.
Yeah, I can offer you one.
All right. So you're using the same phone.
Yeah, and he's leaning in.
All right. Is that better?
Yeah, that's it'll do.
Okay, Mr. Henry. Is that okay, Mr. Henry?
Is what?
My breath. Well, I guess you can't.
He can't smell it.
Okay.
All right. Just tell me what you hired Dean to do.
I'll handle that. He hired me, Phil, to... She's doing it again.
She's whispering.
She's doing it again. She's whispering. Here, get me here, take this.
Mr. Henry,
I don't want him getting... All right.
Well, he's apparently upset about something.
The whispering! What are you whispering?
Okay, I tell you what. Why don't I let you guys go, and then when Emeralda is done...
No, you're done.
Phil, I'm sorry. I knew that. I'm very sorry, Phil. I'm here. I'm at your disposal. I'm 100% yours. But she started to... She's doing this whisper singing, which I told her is going to wreck her vocal cords. No one can hear it. It isn't sexy. It makes her sound, quite frankly, like she is loose. Okay? And I think blue and loose. I think it's a very blue and loose part of the act. And I don't like it. Okay?
You mean by blue and loose?
Well, if you don't know what I mean, it's better that you don't know what I mean. Let me just say this about Steve, Phil. We took on Steve's case as one of our early cases because we felt that there was a great opportunity to consolidate these cases and to eventually deal with them in a way that was a lot more efficient. He has one particular case that Steve told me you're aware of, which goes back to the year 2000. This was a lawsuit that he filed against a neighbor, Mr. Roy Hutchins, who apparently had subjected my client, Mr. Bozell, to ridicule in front of his family, emotional scarring, emotional brutality.
Now, if I may say, you know that he had an attorney.
I'm familiar.
That's right, Mr. Henry, Dolores Blazingame.
I'm familiar with Ms. Blazingame, and we have reached out to her as of this morning. We've reached out to her and to her colleague, Mr. Belair, and both of them were unavailable. My understanding was that they are out of pocket, and
if I could say...
Go ahead, because I want to deal with this piano player.
He's going to go. If I could say, Mr. Henry, Mr. Belair is her partner, but he's junior partner, so I dealt with Ms. Blazingame. And
well, have you discharged Ms. Blazingame?
Not as yet, because she has a big chunk of the retainer here that still I have. And my retainer, she's still got. And
what, if you don't mind me asking, what is the retainer that you pay her per year?
Well,
It is a retainer, but as you know, if the bill goes, well. I'm sorry, I'm back. I was just telling Mr. Henry. Don't lean into the phone when I'm leaning into the phone, because then our lips almost touch. Then God, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. I'm going to try and find an extension. We're both using the same phone. I don't mind that, but when I leaned into the phone this last time, our lips almost touched, and that's got to be a concern for any.
Can I use this phone?
Well, now that you've breathed on it, yeah.
Okay, Phil, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Dolores Blazin Game still has a large chunk of the retainer.
How much?
How much does she have?
What is the, if you don't mind, I won't ask the question. How much is the retainer?
The retainer that I give her per year is $30,000. It was $25,000, and she said, well, you know, she wanted it to be $30,000, and I said, why? And she said, just because she wanted it to be, because on account of inflation or whatever she said. And,
all right, hold the line, okay?
Get the piano player, too.
Do I have to pay the piano player?
No, I'm going to go talk to the piano player. Don't lean into the phone.
Okay, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More with Steve Bozell and Dean Wheeler. I don't know.
I didn't try to kiss you.
Well, your lips almost touched mine.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We thank you for joining us tonight, as we hope you do every night. Dean Wheeler and Stephen Bozell will rejoin us here from the night spot in the Inland Empire that they are currently at. It's a jazz club out in, I think it's in the Corona area, and Dean Wheeler's wife, Emeralda, is performing there. Dean is also the attorney, newly hired attorney of Steve Bozell, and we've got him on the line. Dean, are you there? Okay, is Dean still...
Dean is still consulting with the piano player for his wife's band. We've been listening to Mrs. Wheeler, and I think she's very, very good. And
hi, Phil. It's Dean Wheeler. I'm back. I'm sorry. Steve and I are sharing the same phone, so I'm having to lean in and talk, and he leans in. And I do apologize to you, Steve, for making some comments. We had a problem with his breath, and we got some Clorets into him, and,
All right, well, enough, less said about that, the better. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I apologize for, getting away from,
Let me just say something.
When you lean in like that, though, your lips almost touch mine. I have to say, all right, okay, I'm all right. I'm okay, just remember.
Well, you guys are leaning in on the same phone. Is that a cell phone?
It is a cell phone, yeah, Phil. And
all right, you don't need to lean in. You can just hand the phone back and forth. Or if, Steve, if you have a phone, you can call. We have two lines here.
Okay, why are we leaning in?
Because that's what you do when you have a phone. I didn't know.
You didn't know?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I can tell you right now, and you can take this to the bank, as I heard you use that phrase. I'm not leaning in on the phone with Mr. Bozell because I want my lips almost touching his.
I don't think you do. So the question is, you don't need to lean in. If it's one cell phone, you can hand it back and forth.
All right. Well, that's something I didn't think of.
I did not think of it either, sir. I did not think of it either, sir.
All right. Well, that having been, would you like to take some time to call us?
I can do that. Have you got a cell phone? No, I don't. My wife, April, does. Hold on.
All right. Steve has gotten up to go get his wife, April.
Now, where is she?
April's over near the bandstand. She's listening to Emeralda right now. And I've got, if I've talked to this, yeah, there he goes again. If I've talked to this horn player, Phil.
Well, the last time we had you on, Dean.
No, I know the last time you had me.
But hold on. The last time we had you on, you were complaining about this horn player, and you didn't like his, I don't know what you didn't like.
I don't like him hogging the grand. I don't like him hogging the spotlight. He jumps into this solo. He's playing a bugle or a corn. What do you call it, a cornet?
A cornet.
Well, whatever it is, it's the stupidest looking horn I've ever seen. And right here, you remember what I said about this piano player? The band is all wrong. The band's all wrong. The guys get shirts.
okay? I want to ask you something, Phil. What happens? A pilot is landing an aircraft. He sees the runway, but what else does he depend on?
Instruments.
He's got to look at the instruments, okay? Now, she's the star up there.
What, did you listen to that Paul Anka outtape take?
Which one?
Never mind. Here comes... I think I see Steve coming, and I'm nowhere near Corona.
No, you're not. Yeah, Steve, yeah, he's here.
Yeah, I got a phone. I'm going to call...
Don't lean into the phone. You're almost kissing me on the lips.
Sorry. I've got my wife's phone. Can I do it now?
Yeah, do you need another chloride?
Boy, this guy has got a thing about my breath.
Well, you know what? A full day of doing whatever you're doing.
Okay, who am I talking to?
I'm sorry, it's Dean Wheeler, Phil.
All right, then why don't you guys talk?
Because Steve left. I didn't know you wanted to talk to me.
Yes, I do, because you're the attorney.
That's right, I'm sorry. I've been sidetracked, Phil. Steve Bozell is going to have his legal matters handled by me. I've talked to Dolores Blazingame. I've talked to Beverac Belair. Bev Belair is the shortened version.
What's his first name?
Beverac. He's a Romanian or something, but they've got an office out in Riverside. It's very... I don't approve of it at all.
What don't you approve of?
Well, it's very... she's a very... apparently, and I shouldn't talk out of school because she's an attorney. She's a fellow member of the attorney, you know, lawyer bar, of the bar profession, lawyer thing, whatever they call it. And somebody said to me that she's
what?
She's mobbed up.
Mobbed up?
Yeah. And I think that Steve has been taken advantage of long enough. And
well, I'll tell you this, Dean, and you know, boy, you better watch what you're saying there.
No, believe me. I'm keeping an eye on things, but I know. But you got to understand something. I've traveled in some pretty seedy and depraved circles. Just because I run a holistic center for, you know, old women come up there and get rub downs or whatever, it doesn't mean I haven't walked on the rotten, filthy side of life. Here comes Steve, so just keep it under. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
All right, Mr. Henry, I'm going to call up now.
Don't lean in.
Sorry. I'm going to call up Mr. Henry and...
All right, we'll be waiting for your call.
Okay.
So he's going to use his wife's phone, and she'll call, and you can...
We can, yes, sir. We can facilitate. Everything's good.
What number?
He needs to know the number. Well, I...
Look, we'll call him, all right? So we'll get his number from... We'll get his number from him when we go to our break, okay?
Going to get your number from you when they go to a break.
I can give it to him right now.
No, don't give it to us now because he's on the air.
You're on the air, Steve. I try to tell him. He doesn't understand.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Just sit down and have yourself another drink. Get a glass of milk. Have a tuna fish sandwich. Do something, God. So, Phil, this Blazingame, I'm talking about Dolores, okay? This Blazingame and this Beverac Belair, who is some Romanian. And anytime anybody says Russian or Romanian to me, you know, I don't need to use my imagination. I know what those people are about. They're vicious. Vicious.
Even the attorneys?
Oh, the worst. So I said to Steve, let me handle this, and that's what we're going to do.
You know, Dean, as a friend of Steve's, I appreciate that very much.
Well, it's, you know, I think he needs that.
And he has had that attorney for a long time, and he has been...
We're not talking... Steve, hold on for a minute. Steve's sitting over there. You just got your hands in your lap like you're a bad little boy or something.
Can you get a beer?
Yeah, you can get a beer. Of course you can get a beer. Hey, you. What's your name? Hey, Eddie, get him a beer, will you? Put it on my tab. Yeah, see? Relax, will you? I love him. Steve Bozell, he's something else.
So, Dean, you taking over this means what? You're consolidating?
That's exactly right.
What is the first lawsuit that you're going to handle?
Well, we'll probably go all the way back to the beginning, and for me, the beginning, the one that's winnable, is the Y2K, the KY jelly case.
You know about KY jelly?
Yes, I am, Steve, but don't get a glint in your eye. I'm talking about the lawsuit.
Oh.
Anyway, I swear to God, if she whispers, I've done so much good work.
Will you forget about your wife on stage for a minute?
No, how can I forget about my wife? Have you ever seen my wife?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay. You won't forget about her either. But when she whispers, so many years of anger management, so many years of working with the men's group there at Clinton. I didn't go to Clinton. I was in Plaquerville. But
that was the you were at Plaquerville.
Yeah. Oh well. Ooh. I'm not Charles Manson, okay? I smacked my wife around, and I, you know, the heroin arrest. She's coming off the stand. I got to talk that whispering thing. I swear to God.
All right, Dean. Let's not talk about her right now.
I'm sorry. All right. So in any event, I am going to. Who's the guy that's hooting at her?
Hello, sir. You want me to speak?
Yeah. Go over there and find out who that is. Eduardo. Go and find who it is. Eduardo's a great guy. He's serving me. So what we're going to do, Phil, is we're going to have him. We're going to take on this Roy Hutchins, because Hutchins is the one that was laughing at him when he was loading those cases of KY jelly back into his truck to take it back to the pharmacy that he bought it at after he realized that civilization wasn't going to end. Okay?
Right. So while he was loading that back in...
And while he was loading it back in, Hutchins was laughing. We maintain, and I will maintain on behalf of my client, that it caused emotional scarring, damage, that he was laughed at in front of his son, laughed at in front of his wife, an overall atmosphere of laughter pervaded, and the laughter echoed in his ears for a long time. Now, I know that sounds fanciful.
Well, what does that mean in legal terms?
Well, what it means in legal terms, if someone is laughing at you and the laughter echoes in your ears for long after the event, there is a memory, a scarring memory of you being laughed at. And so when you say in legal terms, what do you mean?
What I mean is, if you put that into a lawsuit, what do you call that?
Well, we call it emotional scarring. I don't know. Emotional...
Emotional cruelty?
Yeah. You can do that, although that's a marriage term. But something that is going to look good to the judge, you know, that's... I don't know.
Are you working with anybody?
Yeah. Well, Emeralda is acting as my clerk and doing some, legal assistant, I should say. And why do you think it's not...
I don't think putting into a lawsuit, laughter echoing in your ears long after the event.
No, I'm not going to put that in the lawsuit. We're going to make it look good. But the point that I'm making here, Phil, is I'm going to save this poor man money. He's been giving this woman 30 G's, 40 G's a year as a retainer. And what is he getting? Not one of these lawsuits has ever gone before a judge. And we're going to change all that. Wheeler and, the Northern California Holistic... Center and Practice, Esquire, Wheeler and Associates. Yeah. Yeah, we're making a difference. 2013 is the year we make a difference. Right, Steve?
That's right, man.
That's right. All right. Now I got to find my wife.
All right. Hold on. We'll be right back, okay? Because we want to get Steve on the line.
Oh, I thought I was done.
No. Okay, fine. We'll talk to Steve.
No, then I'm not done.
All right. Well, Steve, has he called?
Yeah, I got Mr. Bozell on the phone right now. You want to hear what he sounds like?
Steve, you there?
Hey, Bill.
Okay. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Emeralda?
The
Emeralda,
Phil Hendry Show.
What's going on with you? You and the piano player. Well, what's he looking at you for like that?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and on the line is Dean Wheeler and Stephen Bozell as we continue talking about something that I think is a fairly momentous in the life of you, Mr. Bozell, from the lawsuits. And if you want to know about Steve Bozell and his efforts at obtaining justice in a variety of areas in American life, all you have to do is go online and put in the name Steve Bozell. G. Gordon Liddy even read a list of your lawsuits, correct?
Jump in here, Phil. Watch what you. I want to monitor what you say, Steve, because I don't want you to overstep. You know.
I understand that, sir. Yes, sir.
Whoa, hold on. Are you talking about you and what?
Yes, about G. Gordon Liddy.
I'll take that one, Phil. Yeah.
Why do you have to take that?
Well, it was my ego. I all of a sudden, Steve Bozell's being talked about on the G. Gordon Liddy show. I just.
Yeah, maybe you ought to go find your wife, huh?
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'll go sit at the kids' table.
Come on now, Mr. Wheeler.
Forget it.
Mr. Wheeler is off...
Yeah, he's got to go talk to his wife and the piano player and the bugle player, as he calls him, or the cornet player, who it probably is, and more likely, the guy's just a trumpet player.
Boy, you really know all about music and everything, Mr. Hendry.
No, I don't know about music. I just know that it's very unlikely that there's a bugle player in a jazz band. So anyway, yes, you're a prominent guy, and as I've said to people, they can look you up online. You've really taken the battle to a lot of areas of American law, haven't you?
Well, I thank you for that, Mr. Hendry, and I've tried to do the very best that I know how. But it has all come out of my desire to not want to be laughed at by my own child, and my daughter, of course, and you've been familiar with my battles with the Corona Middle School, C.K. Corona Middle School, where my daughter be told things by the Corona Middle School staff that I would say, well, I don't think that's right, and they would then come back and have me stand in front of a sixth grade class and get my ass ripped. I'd get my ass handed to me by a six-year-old. That's very, you know, that'll bring you down to a level that you have never been at before. And
well, no, wait a minute, not a six-year-old.
It's a sixth grade class, I'm sorry. You're right, sir. Yeah, Dean's here. Hi, Phil, I couldn't help but overhear having his ass handed to him by who?
By sixth graders.
Oh, that's another thing. May I?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Mr. Bozell has been subjected to haranguing, to the abuse, to the what I consider to be the unmitigated harassment of a middle school staff because he does not hold the same political viewpoints of that school. This is unprecedented, and it is it is untenable. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
My wife's going on stage. Hit it out of the park, baby. Yeah. Woo! That's my wife up there. Huh? That's my wife? Yeah. What's that? You bet she's tasty. Watch how you say that, pal.
Okay, let's not get into a fight, okay?
All right, I'm all right. If I hear that horn player, though, I'm going to have to lay the phone down. You know that.
Yes, sir, I'm alerted to that.
Phil?
Yes.
If I hear the horn player, the phone, I'm going to lay the phone down. I'm going up there.
Don't.
I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to go up and stare at him. She still can't hit those high notes. All right, Dean. My name is Dean, and you're who?
I'm Steve Bozell, sir.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's why we're on the air. So I got to tell you, Phil, I've had so many wonderful experiences with Steve and his wife, April, and they've come out here to the club with us. And oh, no.
Well, I guess you did it.
No, I...
Okay,
No. Here, take the phone.
I've got a phone.
I hang it up.
Mr. Henry, I'm still here.
Okay, what did he just do?
Yeah, I just saw him kind of trot. He's not running, but he's doing kind of a jog up to the stage there. And I don't know what.
Well, I don't understand why you have a horn player in a quartet or whatever. How many people are on stage?
There's the singer, that's Mrs. Wheeler. There's a piano player. There's a guy playing one of those big fiddles.
Like a bass, a big bass?
Yeah, it looks like a big fiddle.
Big stand-up bass. Okay, and then what?
Then there's the guy who had the bugle, not a bugle. He's got some kind of horn. And then there's another guy playing on the drums.
Okay. And then she's there, yeah.
And now Mr. Wheeler has gone up on stage. He's standing behind him. Standing behind the man what's playing a horn.
He's standing.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Well, nothing. I'm not laughing at anything. What do you think of her as a singer?
I don't know. I mean, she's okay, I guess. I'm not here to. I mean, I had a nice, very nice dinner. We had a very nice supper, and I also had me a beer. I don't really drink Heineken beer, but they let me have very tasty beer.
And where's your wife?
Well, she's up over there now, standing there, and not standing. She's at a bar, and she's talking to people, and she's listening to the music. We come back here just to talk about it, you know, talk about all the lawsuits.
All right, so, Steve, let me ask you, Mr. Wheeler, do you have confidence in him?
Well, I do know that he is, like I said, he's done this consolidation thing. We had that lawsuit against the Riverside Pool, the dive stick lawsuit. And
well, tell me about the dive stick.
Well, the dive stick lawsuit was simply that back in the days when the state, and we were responsible for getting the dive stick outlawed, but not because Dolores Blazengame did anything. It was on account of we was on your show, but he's pacing back and forth. I don't know what he's going to do.
Who is?
Mr. Wheeler, because every time that horn player gets going, now he's really... He's pointing at the horn player and he's grabbing his own crotch. Now he's upset with it. There's all kinds of yelling going on. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should let you go, okay?
Well, Mr. Henry, I do appreciate you having me on the... Yeah, I got to go. Thank you, sir, very much. And
well, I wish you all the success in the world. The dive stick lawsuit, though, I'll tell people, was about you jumping in. You were doing a cannonball competition, and you had a dive stick that got somehow, you know, wedged up blank blank.
Yes, sir.
And you got out of the pool, and you were walking as casually as you could because you knew you had this thing hanging out of you. And so...
Yeah, and I sued the pool for the embarrassment of me having a dive stick, you know, shoved. And the pool, at first they laughed, but then they heard me on your show, and now there's legislation, what the dive stick, what is outlawed now. Boy, he's really looking angry now because he's doing that whisper thing, which I guess he doesn't like.
Well, what is he doing?
Well, right now he's talking very animatedly to the bugle, for to the cornet player.
Okay.
And there, yeah, he's pointing at him, and he's got his finger in his face, and he's just... reading him the riot act. Meanwhile, she's whispering away, so I guess.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Mr. Bozell. It's been great talking to you, and we wish you the best of success.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. It's been great talking to you.
What is going on with that man and the piano player is what I don't understand.
Dean Wheeler's wife, that's her singing, okay?
That's his wife?
Yeah.
She's terrible.
Well, don't tell him that, because he's banking a lot on her.
Well, I'm a professional... Let me explain something, Phil. I am a professional singer.
Hi, Margaret. I know you're a professional singer. I understand that. And I'm not saying that she's better than you. This is just their little... He's got his wife. All of a sudden, he thinks she's a singer. So he's got her in all these little clubs up and down the California coast. I don't know that she's played in anything bigger than like a, you know, some 20-table joint. I don't know what this club is that she's in. And he doesn't like horn players. Apparently, these guys are hitting on her, too.
Well, that's going to happen with musicians, Phil. They're all reefer heads. They smoke their reefer and they hit on the singer. I know. Believe me, I know.
Why? You used to hit on the singer?
You dirty...
Hey! Hey! All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah!
Phil Henry.
My understanding was that that's what he did.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Well, you guys have got to be high on a mixture of chemicals.
You know what I don't like? Yeah, I know that we're back. And ladies and gentlemen, if you just... What I don't like about you more than anything is when someone is wrong, you immediately attribute it to drug use.
All right, let me just tell the audience what you guys are saying, okay?
Fine, Phil, but put it in a way that they won't... We won't be ridiculed.
I'm going to tell them exactly what you said. The audience, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was talking to Dan here because Dan played the trumpet in high school and in middle school. And we were talking about trumpet players because Dean wanted to strangle that horn player, you know.
Yeah, that guy played a bugle.
He didn't play a bugle. Dean's an idiot. He doesn't know the difference between a bugle, a trumpet, and a cornet. Most likely the guys are playing a trumpet. If he's in a little jazz combo, it's got to be a trumpet.
Oh, and you know why.
Because I've seen enough of those kinds of combos and bands and quartets. It's got to be a trumpet. But the point I'm making here is that Dan and I are talking about this, and Margaret chimes in because Dan mentioned Dizzy Gillespie. Now, Dizzy Gillespie was a famous jazz trumpet player. Dizzy Gillespie also played a trumpet that was bent as the result of what, Margaret?
Well, I believe it was damaged, and he liked the way it looked, and he liked the way it sounded, so he kept it that way.
Right, and God knows he probably had a lot of them made after that. But Dizzy Gillespie had this horn that was bent straight up. But the bigger claim to fame, if you want to give it that connotation about Dizzy Gillespie, was that he had the cheeks of his face would balloon out to this enormous size. He had some kind of elasticity there in his cheeks. So when he blew that horn, and you get any YouTube clip of Dizzy Gillespie at the Newport Jazz Festival, any one of the different appearances, and you'll see him as he plays this horn. And these cheeks of his, you know. Now, Margaret and Bud said it's because he used to shove a couple of cantaloupes in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to that. Bullcrap.
Phil, that's what I mean. Okay, and am I high on drugs?
How do you get two cantaloupes in your face?
Take a look at the man's face.
Hey, Phil, how did his face get ballooned out like that unless he put a cantaloupe in it?
You can't get a cantaloupe into a man's mouth, okay?
Well, I could make a joke here.
What joke are you going to make?
Yeah, what joke can you make that's not going to bounce back on you?
I'm going to...
Hey!
I'm going to kill him.
Bud.
I don't care. You hurt me. I'm going to get Mr. Wheeler in.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a hot one. My husband's a lawyer. He would make Dean... You know what he'd do? He'd have Dean Wheeler wearing a dress within 45 minutes.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, well, think about it. Dean would be calling him Daddy.
Okay, all right. So, no, it's not because he wedged a cantaloupe in his face or anything like that.
Or I heard they put a balloon in there and then a guy would blow it up.
No, you idiot. He had a physical condition. If you hear Dizzy Gillespie talk about it, it was literally some kind of a physical condition that created this elasticity. Because if you, I'm talking to Dan who played the trumpet, and any of you trumpet players out there.
Well, what do you mean, any of you trumpet players out there?
If we have anybody listening that's a trumpet player.
Well, that would mean you have jazz musicians listening to you, and right now they're on stage.
Yeah, right now they're on a bandstand blowing their brains out.
Right now they're on the bandstand blowing their brains out. Okay.
Well, you know what? Out of the mouths of babes, he's right.
Okay, great, fine. The point I'm making here is Dizzy Gillespie said in an interview, I heard him say it, he says it's a physical condition, it's a kind of a if you want to call it a malady, he said, but there's no skin or muscle tone there that restricts or, you know, keeps those, when you put air into the mouth, his cheeks would, you know, expand like that. Because, according to my good close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft and other trumpet players, you have to actually tighten those muscles.
Why? You gotta tighten the muscle. You gotta get a lot of air going.
I don't know. Do you play trumpet?
Well,
do you play the trumpet?
Oh, well, that's dirty pool, Phil. Of course he doesn't play it. Neither do I. Does that mean I don't know anything about the trumpet? I am a singer, and I know about the improvisational style.
Well, what's so you know about the improvisational style? So what?
So that means that what it means is this. What do you mean he has to tighten his cheeks up? My God.
Oh, okay. Here we go with another homosexual.
Well, you're talking about tight cheeks.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Mr. Henry, because I've been talking to Mr. Hall for the last 30 minutes. I mean, 30 seconds, excuse me, not 30 minutes.
You've been talking to Mr. Hall for the last 30 seconds about what?
About that tight cheek.
Oh, for crying out. Does he want to talk to me?
You want to talk to Phil? He said, yeah, he want to talk to you, but he don't want you giving him a hard time.
I'll give him a hard time.
Well, he's... What? Yeah. Here.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air with me.
I didn't want to talk to you.
Well, you're talking to me.
Well, what is this, tight cheeks?
That's a reference to the cheeks of one's face.
No, I know that. I know what you meant. But I'm trying to tell you, and as I've been trying to tell you, Phil, for I don't know how many years, when you say something on the radio, you've got radio listeners. You've got me. You've got management. You got Bud. You got Margaret. You got all your friends, whoever, whatever. It doesn't matter. But when you're on the radio, you also have the audience. And they will take what you say, and they'll do anything they want with it. You understand that?
No, I don't understand that. They can't do anything they want with it. They can only do with it what it says, okay?
Oh, really? So when you say I was at the jazz thing and I saw a guy's tight cheeks, guess what? That immediately goes to the FCC, and you've got some gentleman on the commission there who hears you talking about a guy's cheeks being tight. And
he hears me talking about a jazz band.
He doesn't know from jazz. Why would he know?
Because is he listening to the tape?
He's listening to what got mailed in.
So in other words, somebody out there tapes my show and sends in simply the line, tight cheeks.
Right, and we are dead. We're dead men. Dead men walking. You never see the dead men walking?
I saw it, Mr. Hall.
Right. That was about a guy...
Yeah, about a dead man walking.
Right, it was about a dead man walking.
Well, what does that mean?
What did it mean, bud?
It was about Sean Penn.
Yeah, it was about Sean Penn. See?
Dead Man Walking was about a guy, that's what they call a guy in prison who is coming through when he is on his way from here to there. Dead man walking mean he's a dead man. He's on death row.
What did you just say? Boy, you know, it would be great for you to explain things, Phil, in less than book form. You know?
I will do it. David, it's Margaret.
Yeah.
Dead Man Walking was a film with, Sean...
Penn.
Sean Penn and Susan Sarandon, or Susan Sarandon, if she insists on the full name. I like to keep it less Jewish.
What does that mean?
What's she talking about, just, you know, for Hollywood?
What do you mean, less Jewish?
Well, Sarandon, is my understanding, is the full Hebrew.
Well, I'm watching a video cast. Why are you staring at the camera like you just smelled something?
Because you know what? Figuratively, I just did smell something. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what Margaret's talking about. I'm not going to listen any more of this. I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm hanging the phone up on you. All right?
Well, if you want to be rude.
No. But yeah, I guess in your mind, I will be rude. The tight cheeks I was talking about were someone's face cheeks. Dizzy Gillespie.
All right, so you got a thing for Dizzy Gillespie's ass.
You know what, man? He's the stupidest ass I've ever talked to in my life.
Phil, don't you know when he's winding you up?
No, he's not winding. You don't understand. He's not winding me up. He really thinks this stuff.
No, I think he calls in to test you.
Yeah, he's calling up to test to see what if it'll rock your world.
So?
Yeah, if you can keep it cool, then he realizes everything's good.
So he calls up to mess with my show, is what you're saying.
Well, no, he's not calling up to mess with your show.
Yes, he is. He calls up to throw in a couple of hand grenades to see how well I work in that situation. And then he hangs up and then he goes his merry way. And that's not what you do. That's not what you should do. Okay?
Well, but I think you handled it pretty good.
Well, he hung up on him.
Yeah, I did hang up on him. And I think that, David, if you're out there listening, which I know you are.
No, he always says that he never, you should know, he never listens ever.
Oh, my ass. He just was listening.
No, after he gets off the phone with you, he said, never does he listen. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah, that's what I heard him say, too.
Well, it stands to reason if he's out to dinner.
Well, I'm sorry that he isn't listening, because I would say to him the following thing. That if you call me up and you say something asinine like that, like I was talking about a guy's ass when I was talking about tight cheeks, because we were talking about, you know...
It's just getting worse, Phil. Back up. Go again.
If you're listening, David, and you are...
Calm down. Just settle down. Take a deep breath. All right, go.
If you're...
What's wrong with you?
Now I got you staring at me. If you're out there listening, David, and you think that when I talked about a guy's tight cheeks, I meant someone's ass, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you think about ass.
He's going to get mad at that.
He's not listening, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. So, our number 877, what I wanted to do, actually, was play an exit. What's...
I heard that. So you're saying that I'm hot for Dizzy Gillespie's ass. Well, I...
Will you get rid of him?
I'm sorry. Just
don't put a guy on the air like that.
He probably felt it was important.
I thought I should put him up right away.
He ain't listening, huh?
He probably wasn't until you started talking about him, didn't...
Then he had to listen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense. He probably wasn't listening, and then I started to talk about him, and, you know...
Bud, I think...
Yeah, quit while you're ahead.
Oh.
All right, 877-876-7445. We're giving the number out even though the call screening computer is broken because it sounds more big time. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. By the way, with a backstage pass, that's not broken. Our backstage pass is wide open, if you'll pardon the expression, having just talked about tight cheeks.
You better watch it, Phil.
I am watching it. Our backstage pass is wide open for all of you, man or woman.
Wide open.
Shut up. And all you got to do is go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. It affords you access to almost 5,000 hours of marvelous, beautiful, scrumptious, cool, bitchin' audio.
You.
And also we have our video archives. And very soon, this week, we become Apple compatible. That's right. You'll be able to live stream, not live stream, but on-demand stream our video media from our website on your iPhone and on your iPad. It's a beautiful thing. It's another step in the right direction. It's a great, it's this, it's that, it's something else. By the way, our podcast is joining the Sideshow Network very soon. So you're going to see my ugly mug right up there at the top of iTunes. It's all a part of the great, brave new world of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
I can smell your armpit.
Sorry. Money these guys are making, though, I'll tell you that.
It's a lot of money.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Got to kill this fan. We always have our little... It's been warm here at the El Pacifico. I don't know what it is. If you are watching us on Phil TV in HD, behind me is the roiling surf of the El Pacifico and that beautiful bluish, that kind of orangish-bluish...
Well, hold on, because I've done interior design, so I don't mean to interrupt you, Phil, but I've done interior design. I know that is a rust. That is a rust. It's a rust and a peach. Okay.
Well,
hold on. Don't talk. I'm talking, when I'm talking color and I'm talking interior design.
I understand.
Right. In fact, if I hate to be, could you please?
Margaret.
Would you please?
All right.
What?
When Margaret talks about interior design, she likes to have...
I want to have my theme music.
The only guy that ever had theme music on his show is Steve Santos, the auxiliary police.
Jay Santos.
No.
Yes, it is. Jay Santos. That's Steve Santos.
Well, what do you mean theme music? Why did he get theme music?
They got the Citizens Auxiliary Police theme, okay?
Well, I wasn't told about that.
Well, Margaret, what, am I going to report all this stuff to you?
I have my theme music when I'm talking about interior design. Now, where is it?
Excuse me, ma'am, but I'm still looking for it.
You're still looking for it. God almighty.
All right, I think I have it here. Now, Margaret, you're going to be talking about what?
About interior design, for God's sake. Where is...
I can't find it. I'm sorry. I couldn't find it. I thought I had it, and I couldn't, you know... Oh, here it is. It's Mozart's symphony. Yeah, here it is. I'm sorry.
Well, come on.
Sorry, ma'am.
It's frozen up, Mr. Henry. I'm sorry.
It's frozen, Margaret.
What's frozen?
The computer.
Well, fix it!
All right, go take a walk. We'll fix it, okay?
No, here it is. All right, I've got it. Start it all over again.
Oh, God, why do I gotta go through this with you?
Don't you talk to... I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil was pointing out colors on the video cast... of the sky behind him. He knows that it's in my contract when colors are talked of, especially a sunset. There's only one person on this staff that's allowed to talk about it, and that is me. Mr. Hendry knew that. He knew that with full foreknowledge, and still insisted on trying to describe to Bud the colors of a sunset.
I have apologized.
Excuse me. Here then... Would you please start that again?
I'm sorry.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Now. Ah, yes. As you can see, Phil, the sunset over the Channel Islands here in the Pacific Ocean, this, of course, is the Channel Islands Channel, if you will, the Santa Barbara Channel. The sunset is reflective of a rustish peach.
Did you mean rustic?
Stop the music. What did I get done telling you?
All right, Margaret, this is taking way too much time.
What did I get done? The sunset is... I'll just talk without the music for a short period of time. The sunset reflects a very rust-like... There, does that make you happy?
Yes, that's better.
Rust-like appearance, the peach colors, the reds, the blues, the hues... And then, of course, we have... Ow!
Oh, sorry.
A staple gun, huh?
I didn't know...
Okay.
I told you about that.
I told you not to have that staple gun, bud.
I didn't know the staple gun... If I would have said something...
Look, that's not your fault. He leaves that staple gun sitting there. Well, what was she doing sitting down in that chair?
I think she was trying to get a better look at the sunset.
Get out of here with this sunset and the music of Mozart, okay? So in any event, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what I was going to tell you about, are you guys done?
I don't want a staple gun. I could be injured.
I didn't know it was there.
Yes.
Just sit down and be quiet, please.
Well, where's the sunset?
We're done with the sunset. Okay?
So that was on the air?
Yes, you screeching like that was on the air. How do you feel?
I feel fine. I'm not embarrassed at all. I'm glad people heard that. So they know what an absolute, what a felon is, this man, Mr. Dickman, and he tried to, you tried to drive a staple a good half foot into my ass.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Obama Romney hit final stretch with bursts of fundraising. Now, this is interesting, folks, because guess what the number is? The number that they're talking about now is almost $1 billion. They have raised almost $1 billion. That's a lot of money, obviously. I don't need to tell you that. And this $1 billion is what? Who's on the phone there?
Hey, young man, it's Frank Gray. I got a call.
Yeah, I told him to call off.
Frank, hold on for a minute, will you?
All right, I just.
Is he on? Put him on hold. What are you doing, man?
Margaret, want to talk?
I want to talk to my husband.
Not in a... God. Get that music out of here before I kill somebody. Yeah, Frank?
Hey, look, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but he called me and said he had a problem.
Frank, it's Margaret. It put a staple gun on my chair.
Oh, it did, huh?
Yes, it did. And I don't know, I'm not saying that I want to sue because I don't want Phil to be liable, but I think it needs to be talked to.
All right, where is it?
It's here, bud.
I'm not an it.
Oh, look, no, I know you're not an it, bud, but I'm using the term it so I don't do any gender confusion. Margaret has asked me not to, and I promised it that I would.
Well, okay.
Wait. I want to be clear here. Because I know that you're aware you have gender confusion.
Oh, yeah. It's part of my therapy. I've become aware of it.
Okay. So instead of confusing he and she, you're just calling everybody it?
That seems to be. I worked that out with Dr. Pendergrast, and it advised that. And I talked to it this afternoon.
Yes, Frank was over at Dr. Pendergrast. Do you know Baldrish Pendergrast?
What's his name?
Baldrish. B-A-L-D-R-I-S. No?
No, I've never heard of him.
Well, I know you know Hamlin Emery.
Yes, Dr. Emery's a great...
Well, Baldrish Pendergrast has an alternative therapy dealing with senior citizens that have neurosyphilis, which is not so advanced as it creates, you know, retardation, but is advanced enough. Oh, look, there's the music.
All right, so...
Hold on, Frank, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
What is it with these breaks? You get that under control. Don't ever call me in front. Don't have it call me, okay? I heard it talking.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, Baldrish Pendergrast.
Well, it's a real guy.
Yeah.
Is Jason J. Delmonico home?
No, it hasn't gotten called yet.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Take that right.
You know, we were talking here during the break about black troops in World War II, you know, and the, you know, this is always a subject as proud as we should be of our history, all of it, even the bad stuff, because, you know, our country's come through bad things. I think it's one thing to have bad things in your past and not come through it or not address it or not do something to make it, you know, better. But if we've attempted to right these wrongs and if we've struggled through, that makes us better than most countries, because many countries struggle with this stuff for centuries and they never deal with it, you know?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying to you, Robert, what are you looking at, Margaret?
Well, I think you need to be, if you're talking about black troops in World War II.
I'm going to be very honest and I'm going to say the following thing, because... I've done a lot of reading about, obviously, the history of that period, but also I've done a lot of reading on the history of... the African-Americans of World War II and the contribution in combat of those soldiers. And any time I can get a hold of any kind of a historical document, even if it is rather fanciful or, if you will, fictionalized, like Spike Lee's movie, you know.
Well, I don't let's say that's fiction.
No. Well, hold on for a minute. The movie The Miracle of St. Anna's, I think is the name of it, is true to this extent. There was a Gestapo massacre in a village. I mean, there were many of them, that not Gestapo, SS. There were many of them in World War II. The Buffalo Soldiers, which were the black soldiers, formed from the Buffalo Soldier Cavalry units and were now sans horseback.
What's that mean, sans?
You guys don't know?
Well, I know.
Without horses.
Oh.
So they were just regular soldiers walking around with their weapons. What Spike Lee did is sort of synthesize some things. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. Black soldiers in World War II were in combat units. They did see combat, and some of them were captured. While, we captured a lot of Germans. Germans were capturing Americans, especially the Battle of the Bulge. A lot of Americans were taken, and some of those Americans were black. And some of them, as you might well imagine, in the hands of the Nazis, did not fare very well.
Did they let the Nazi kill them?
I believe in one instance, and this was the document that I was looking at. In one instance, there was a very real and very horrific massacre of black POWs by Germans. But the thing of it is, it did not get. And here's the thing: the most tragic thing about World War II, in my opinion, the fate, both the good and the bad, of what happened to black soldiers, black American soldiers, in World War II, was not known. We didn't report it. The press didn't report it. The Army wanted to bury it. Even the exploits of Reuben Rivers, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor, they didn't want to give medals to black guys in those days.
Why not? That's the part I don't get, man. I don't understand. You don't like black people, want to put them in jail. Why are you going to cover up the medal they get?
Because it makes a white guy look bad.
Well,
it's true. It makes the white guy look at. They didn't want to acknowledge. What do you mean, black hero? What is that supposed to mean? I don't understand. Those guys are on the move. They're like butlers. What? You mean they're heroes? You know.
Even a Japanese guy, to make a Japanese guy look good before American.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing in that damn movie. What the hell was that thing? Was that Miracle of St. Anna?
Yes. In the Miracle of St. Anna, they had the German soldiers.
That's the thing that pisses me off more than anything. That you got black soldiers going to see a movie, Americans, and they're told that they got to sit in whatever the black section is, and the German POWs, you know, we had German POWs here in America. They were brought over here to America.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
They came over, Nazis was here?
They were prisoners, okay? And they came over to prisoner camps in America, Germans. And they were treated great. They did work on farms, and they had the food, and the farmers gave them food. And some of these Germans remembered their experience over here was so good, they stayed, some of these guys. And they got married. And in one instance, one of them said, oh, yeah, man, we worked on a farm. And then the farmer said, you guys work hard, and then we'll have meatloaf for dinner. All this stuff, right? So, and this is true. This happened. And meanwhile, our own black soldiers are getting hassled and kicked off of buses. I mean, if that doesn't, it makes me angry, and I'm white.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Why are you getting mad as a white man?
Well, because he don't like people getting kicked around.
Why can't you understand that, Bud?
I can understand it.
Bud, look, at the day you get pissed off as a man, forget about whether you're white or black, just did you get pissed off that another American is treated like garbage, that's the day then you and I can have a talk, okay? What do you mean, as a white man?
I'm not saying that they don't have a right, but...
Yeah, but it ain't you, huh, Whitey?
Call me Whitey. Hey!
To kick somebody's ass. I'll kick both of your asses. It'll be a race war. And it'll be Phil against two races. So anyway, now we have that situation that the black soldiers are dealing with here in America. And in that film, I thought Spike Lee brought that out with that scene where they go in to get an ice cream cone. And that hillbilly, that redneck, tells them to go around the back. Meanwhile, he's serving two German POWs. Their ice cream.
So that did happen.
You better believe it happened. It was outrageous. Today, when we look at it today from the perspective of today, is outrageous. To any black listener of mine, of course, it's outrageous. But to white people in this country, if it was the 1940s, not everybody got it. They were all, well, you know, that's kind of too bad, but that's kind of the way it's been, see? So anyway, now you cut to Europe. And there was an incident in the Battle of the Bulge where there was an artillery unit of black soldiers, and I believe it was overrun. The Germans were overrunning everybody. The Battle of the Bulge was the last big offensive of the Germans in World War II. It was the gamble, the last gamble of Adolf Hitler. He took every last division he could scrounge up, every last tank that he could find. They had the new Tiger had rolled off the assembly line, and they decided to hit our lines in the Ardennes Forest. Why? Because that's where Hitler went in at the beginning of the war. That's how he attacked France at the beginning, through the Ardennes. It was a brilliant move to a point, because it was going through a forest, and it was going through a forest during the winter. It's not exactly tank country. Driving tanks through trees is not exactly the brightest thing. That's what he did. It caught us with our pants down, killed a lot of people, and the Germans made pretty good headway for about 48 hours, I don't know, maybe a week. They overran a lot of units, and some of those were black units, and they took prisoners of these black soldiers. Now, I got to go back and look into this some more, but of these prisoners that were taken, the black soldiers in this one unit were murdered by the Germans.
Yeah, but the Germans did that to everybody.
They didn't do it to everybody.
Well, what was the one that Bill O'Reilly said where we murdered?
We didn't murder any. Bill O'Reilly's a freaking knothead. It was the Germans murdered 88 Americans in Malmedy. But the point is that while they committed that atrocity, we all know about that.
Yeah, and we don't know about the black guys.
We never heard about the black guys, exactly. Now, you know, it's World War II, it's a long time ago, we've been going through that stinking war for a long time, but that's not got nothing to do with Germans. What I'm talking about is the experience, one part of history that we don't know, that we have not been taught, that needs to be taught, and we should be proud of it, is the history of all of our people. We're never going to be a country that we can look at our flag or look at ourselves and say we really are Americans until we look at the history of all of our people. And part of that is the African-Americans and the things that they did and what they suffered, not just necessarily here at the hands of Jim Crow, slavery, and all of that. That's obviously got to be dealt with. But also what they put up with overseas as soldiers in the American Army, as being subjected to the discrimination there, the fact that they served with distinction and valor and in some instances bravery, you know, above and beyond, and the fact they were taken prisoner by the very same enemy and murdered. Not put into a POW camp and getting Red Cross packages, murdered in cold blood, you know. So that's what we were talking about, Margaret, when you were taking your nightly trip to the toilet.
Well, had I known that, I would have...
You would have held it?
You know, Phil, either you do something about it or I will.
Oh, that reminds me. Is Frank on hold?
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah, oh, my God. Poor Frank. Frank, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm sitting listening to you, and you're telling all these stories. And I, you know, I knew a lot of the guys you're talking about. I didn't know the black soldiers, but I knew some of the white ones. I knew Captain Del Bingham. Did you know it?
Did I know it? No, I.
He means him.
Oh yeah, no.
Del, it was over there, and it served with distinction.
All right. So when we come back, we'll get your story, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm sorry, Frank.
I'm sitting here and I'm playing mumbly. You know what? I got my thumb parked. And I'm sitting on a toilet. That's the part that really bothers me. You interrupted me while I was on the toilet. When it goes to the toilet, you don't say anything.
Who's it?
Margaret. When it goes to the toilet, it can sit in there for hours, and you wait patiently for it. I go to the toilet, and I got to hurry up and get off the toilet because it might want to use it. And
all right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry, show.
You look like you're all in the heat.
He's our bitch.
I'm all balled up, man. Show. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have another Iron Swine, I am told, with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. That ought to be pretty good. Now, you guys were supposed to be on last night with that.
Yeah, we forgot all about it, but tonight we got a better one. On tonight, we can tell them, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tonight on Iron Swine, we are going to play, Iron Swine going to get called in to save a black soldier from being killed by a Nazi. And I'm going to play, and just to show how we
Yeah, we're not going to typecast or anything, and Robert's going to be the Nazi, and I'm going to be the black guy.
Robert will play the Nazi.
Yeah. I'm going to be a Nazi, and he's going to be black. And now, who is going to be Iron Swine?
I am.
Yeah, we'll have Margaret be.
Because I think you need a different dynamic with Iron Swine, all right? And I'm not saying that I want to butt in.
But you know, you don't get to do it all the time.
I know, and I don't want to, but I think tonight, what with Robert being the Nazi, or the Nazi, or whatever.
Nazi.
All right, and you being black or Jewish?
Well,
no, it's supposed to be black. What do you mean Jewish?
Well, they didn't like Jewish people either.
Okay, I can be the Jew.
Yeah, okay, good. So you be the Jew, because you're really Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be a Nazi, you be a man.
Yes.
And you be...
I'll be black.
I hope we can remember all of this, okay? So that'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, another edition of Iron Swine. Here's some news that we find to be both good. It's very, very good news, but we are also wondering what happened to Dennis Miller. Adam Carolla is joining Fox News' O'Reilly Factor. I say Fox News's. I don't know if that's the proper pluralization.
No, you could say Fox News. Adam Carolla is joining the Fox News's, the O'Reilly Factor.
News's.
Don't look at me like I'm joking, Phil, because I'm not.
No, I know you're not joking, and I'm looking at you quizzically because...
Because what? Because I'm wrong?
Because I've... No, that's not... I reject that. News's.
That is the... How dare you...
I talk on the radio for a living, not you. I don't sing. I'll leave the singing stuff to you. And I'm telling you, pluralizing news is not newsoos.
It's not.
No.
Well, would you humor me and just say it one time, because I want to hear how it rolls off your tongue.
Yeah. Adam Carolla joins Fox Newsoos,
Well, you butchered that alive. God, if that was a baby, it'd have a bayonet in it.
What do we got to use a... Oh, God.
That's terrible.
Well, I didn't do it. Phil did.
If that was a baby, there'd be a bayonet in it. Why do we have to use that kind of extreme commentary? Just because I misspoke or mispronounced a word doesn't mean that I've committed a war crime. Adam Carolla joins Fox News' The O'Reilly Factor. There. Are you happy?
I think it's musical. That's how good it sounds.
Great. This should be an interesting dynamic, says the fall season TV Scoop columnist. I'm reading directly here from E. Comedian and podcaster Adam Carolla will officially be joining the Fox News family by making appearances on some of the network shows, primarily as a contributor on the O'Reilly Factor, E! News confirms. His role on Factor will be very much similar to Dennis Prager, who currently appears weekly on the show to comment on political and social issues. What happened to Miller?
I don't know. Dennis Prager...
Is that because... Oh. Katy Perry performed at an Obama rally in Vegas.
No, that's that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Although he's a progressive on some liberal issues. That's very interesting. Although he's a progressive on some liberal issues. What does that mean?
Well, it means he's progressive on he's a liberal on progressive issues.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know.
That's the dumbest sentence that has ever been written, Ms. Bruna Nesif.
Well, how do you know that's a woman?
Bruna? It's got to, if it was Bruno.
Oh, you're right. The A is the Latin for, that's the female. Yeah, okay.
Right. Although he's a liberal on, although he's a progressive on some liberal issues, that cracks me up. I guess she must be talking, I'll bet you money she's talking about, for instance, pro-choice. There's a lot of people such as, you know, Mr. Carolla and myself, I'd like to add, and probably Dennis Miller, that are liberal on those issues, and then when it comes to other things like, you know, the economy and the national defense, and just basically taking a flamethrower to terrorists that were extremely conservative.
In other words, you want to shred the Constitution.
Exactly, yes. I want to shred the Constitution. So, I believe in a woman's right, but I don't believe in a terrorist right, so I want to shred the Constitution. Now, in any event, he's a liberal on, or he's a progressive on liberal, or a liberal on progressive, or maybe that's just his sexual orientation.
Pretty good, Phil.
Thank you. Carolla's politics lean conservative and libertarian, according to... So his politics lean conservative and libertarian, but he's a progressive on liberal issues.
Well, Phil, you're not going to figure it out any better by repeating it.
All right. Well, in any event, according to the Hollywood Reporter who first broke the story, Carolla will make his first contributor appearance He will make his first contributed appearance on the O'Reilly Factor this Monday and will likely return each Monday night while Prager continues his Wednesday night appearance. What do you think of Fox's latest edition? Sound off in the comments. Well, okay. What do you think, bud?
I think, the Man Show was the best show on TV.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Yeah, when he was on it.
Well, yeah, when he was on it, but Jimmy Kimmel on that show, too.
Okay, so what? It's still the best show on TV.
So what's that got to do with him being on Fox News?
Oh, well, I think it's a good addition if you can bring back the Man Show and do some of that.
Yeah, I would agree. Also, even though I'm liberal on liberal issue, and I'm conservative on conservative issues, too.
See? That's the same dumb thing that guy wrote that Phil was pointing out.
No, it's just, never mind. So you like, both of you guys like the idea?
Yeah, I do.
Margaret?
Well, this will come as no surprise. No, I don't like the idea. First of all, Adam Carolla is a misogynist. The Man Show, I think, has taken the rights of women and has taken men's relationships with women, especially younger men. Excuse me, I'm so sorry, Phil. I couldn't...
Oh, God,
did you just belch?
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. Let's just move past it. The Man Show has taken, I think, especially younger men and their perception of women, as well as a young woman's perception of the young man, and I believe it has really retarded it. It has pushed it into the past. It has pushed it into a bunker in the past. And so Adam Carolla has bunkered, if you will, he's bunkered male mentality when it comes to women. Now then, having said that, I think from the entertainment standpoint, it's very good, because obviously the O'Reilly Factor is an insufferably dull program. Mr. O'Reilly looks as if he is mentally diseased. He's over the top. Bill O'Reilly looks like he needs a straitjacket anyway. Everyone knows that. So anything that softens that program and makes it watchable, instead of looking into the face of a man who you know, and what I'm about to say is going to be controversial, who you know has beaten his wife.
All right, well, what you just said, I will disavow completely. That is not the opinion of the Phil Hendry Show.
Wait a minute, Phil.
No, you wait a minute. You wait a minute. You can say what you want. That is not the opinion of the Phil Hendry Show. That is not the opinion of the Phil Hendry Show sponsors, syndicators, or stations. That's your opinion.
So I'm being left out on my own to twist in the breeze.
That's right. That's what Mr. Henry said.
That's what I said.
Why?
You're not going to attribute to me the comment that Bill O'Reilly beats his wife.
Look at the face on that man. If that isn't an angry man. And by the way, a story that you avoided, Bill O'Reilly tried to have a police officer fired from a Long Island police force when he found out that the man was bedding his wife.
This, again, is an opinion expressed.
Excuse me, Phil. This was reported in the news.
I know that. I know it was reported in the news. It was reported as a source says. It was never confirmed. It's never been a factual piece of reporting. It has been floating out there in rumor, you know, on a rumor cloud, okay? Having said all of the things that you said, I'm simply saying, Margaret, you shouldn't be shocked by that. I let you say what you wanted to say. I am not going to allow you to attribute that to our show.
So no guts, huh?
I've got plenty of guts, but I'm not going to say stuff that's going to get my ass sued if it's not worth it. I don't have any proof of anything that you just said.
And you don't think that man looks like... Bill O'Reilly has that... He has that worn alcoholic face, you know?
Oh, God. You know...
Look at his face! Are you telling me that is not the face of a man that's been next to a jug for years?
We'll be right back with Iron Swine.
Oh, that's right. I've got to rehearse.
Yeah. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're going to get Phil sued just when you said that Phil O'Reilly looks like he's in a jug.
No, he's still about a pair of jugs.
Well, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
What, you think Phil O'Reilly would look good with a pair of jugs?
I didn't say that at all, man. That's so stupid.
Phil Hendry. Famous Bill Hendry Show.
All right, Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And I'm just testing out my, I'm testing out a record process right here before we get into Iron Swine, because this is what has screwed me up. You see what I'm doing, bud?
Yeah.
And now you can see that, is building the graphic. I don't know. I have a record software here in our studio that I use for, I have no idea what that is. Hold on for just a moment. I must do something. I simply must do something.
What are you doing?
Hold on. I want to listen to something. Yeah. Okay, now you see that? You know what that is? You know what that is?
What?
While I was talking, and I was talking, and I was talking, and you can hear me talking, I didn't have iTunes up, but it was recording iTunes.
Well, you had iTunes running.
I've got iTunes running, but I've got the pot down. For those of you that don't know what a pot is, that means a volume knob. That's the part that's driving me nuts.
Can we do Iron Swine, please?
All right, but the thing of it was I wanted to record it. Now I can't record it, but...
Well, it's going to be on the air check tape.
Well, that's true. It'll be in the podcast. You're right. I apologize, guys. So you can listen to the Iron Swine on our podcast. So, all right, everybody, places, marks.
What's that mean?
That's a theater term. You take your mark, all the blocking is done. You know where you're standing, right? You know where the camera is, right?
There ain't no camera.
All right, but you're on your marks and you're taking your, Margaret?
Yes. Now, do I stand here or...
It doesn't matter. I'm just using the term.
Oh.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, get out of here with it. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, Iron Swine.
And now it is time for Iron Swine. I'm Iron Swine, and I'm Margaret Gray, but I'm Iron Swine. The part of Iron Swine played by me, Margaret Gray. I'm Iron Swine. Now today, I, Iron Swine, Margaret Gray... Oh, I'm sorry, let's start again. Let's start again, please.
Come on, it doesn't take us this long.
Don't talk to me like that. Don't be the temperamental director.
I'll be the temperamental director. Now hurry up.
You're playing the... Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean this. You're playing the Jew, so could you just assume your character?
Oh, get a load of you! Woo-hoo, man!
You want me to be the Nazi, I'll be the Nazi. I'll tell you to hurry up.
Yeah!
Don't you talk to me, All right, everyone ready?
Wait a minute, I say that.
All right, Jew.
Hey, what's it with the Jew thing?
I'm getting into character.
You're Iron Swine. You're supposed to be the good guy.
Yeah.
Well, what? Well, you're black. What's that make you?
Just never mind. Let's go.
All right, here we go. It's Iron Swine. I'll do the credits. Margaret plays Iron Swine. Bud plays the black GI. Robert, you're playing the Nazi, and I play a poor Jewish person, and it's World War II. Ready?
Ready. It's time now for Iron Swine. I am Iron Swine, and as you know, I am called upon to right wrongs, to deliver justice, and to otherwise... correct those things which have gone sadly awry.
All right, come on now, you black guy. I'm a Nazi. I arrested you. I captured you and everything. Get on into that POW cage.
Well, what are you talking about? I'm an American, too.
Yeah, but you're black. Something wrong with you, man.
Just because my skin and everything.
I'm going to put you in a cage and gun you down, man. I think you know better than this one right here. What are you?
Hi, I'm Jewish.
No, you ain't. You a Jew.
Yeah, I'm a Jew.
And then Iron Swine. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, just do a siren sound.
I'm Iron Swine. What do you think you're doing?
Who are you?
I just got done telling you I'm Iron Swine.
Well, I'm a member of the Waffen-SS. I'm a Gestapo. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, the Gestapo. They was civilian. You probably is Waffen.
What is Waffen? Is that the Waffen House?
The Waffen House? Waffen means war in German.
Well, what was the Waffen House? I'm going to go and get myself a stack of flapjacks at the Waffen House.
Yeah, I think I might join you there. That's where the Waffen SS had a breakfast.
Well, unhand that black GI. Are you planning a massacre?
Yeah, I thought so. First, I got to kill me a Jew. Get over here, Jew. That's gas.
I'm dead.
All right, there goes one Jew. Now here comes the black guy.
No, you won't. I'm going to punch you right in the face.
Ow.
Yay, I'm free.
This has been Iron Swine. Now we all go to the Waffen SS house for waffens. I mean waffles.
All right. Beautiful.
I have to hand it to you. That was a wonderful death scene, Phil.
Thank you.
Yeah, you die good, man.
Don't make a big joke out of it. German
man, I gassed you.
Well, you are now a Waffen SS German, okay?
What's the difference?
Well, not every German was Waffen SS. They were just all, douchebags.
That isn't fair, Phil. Not all of the...
Yeah, okay, whatever you say. All right. All right,
Yeah, that was great. Did you get that on a podcast?
Yeah, it's on the podcast. Whatever, that was fine. It wasn't all that great.
Wasn't all that... Get a load of him.
Wow. We do one of the best Iron Swines that had ever been did, and you're all...
Phil doesn't like to spread the joy around.
Yeah, Mr. Andy, what's wrong?
What was the big deal with it?
Wait a minute, I get it. You didn't have a very big part.
Well...
Oh, wow! Just because you didn't have a big part, you're all pissed off.
Well, all I got to say was, I'm the Jew, and I'm dead.
Yeah, that's your part, man. Everybody got to play their part. Obviously, I had a prominent role, and so Ms. Gray, and Bud. And, it would be up for the Academy Award.
It depends on screen time. If you had a lot of screen time, you may get a supporting actor nod. That's what they call it, a nod, But if you are a on the screen, I'm just really excited.
What are you guys talking about? This is all it was some stupid little bit on a radio show.
We could win a potty.
What's that?
Isn't it a podcast award?
A potty?
Well, sure.
I don't know what they call podcast awards. Maybe. Maybe not. In any event...
Well, cheer up, Phil, just because you wasn't like a big star on a potty.
Yeah, you won't get a potty, but you know what? We'll make you a part of the potty. A part of the potty.
Great. Thank you very much.
We spread the love, Phil.
Good.
All right, so very good. That was a good Iron Swine. Thank you very much. Let's move on, okay? Because it's not because my ego's bruised that I didn't have a big part,
Get over it.
Fine. Obama and Romney hit final stretch with bursts of fundraising. Get a load of this, man. This is some mutt. Hey, did we already deal with Frank? Yeah, get him out of here.
I already told Frank that he just isn't interesting enough to have on the air, and he said fine.
Okay. President Obama and Republican challenger Mitt Romney each held unique financial advantage headed into the final 19 days of the race after raising money at a furious pace during the first half of October, and that's a really long sentence, and yet I got it all out in one breath, and aren't I great? Romney's campaign and affiliated party committee raised $111.8 million.
I'm going to call it, next time I have a party, if you don't mind,
you should call it Robert's Party Committee.
Yeah, that's great.
Big wow. So,
Well, it is a very unusual name, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's the Party Committee. Romney's campaign and affiliated party committee, that's about the political party, raised $111 million between October 1st and the 17th. $111 million in a two-week stretch. Wow! Where's this money coming from,
Well, obviously there are people that have got it.
No kidding! I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, that's buying a lot of TV ads, man. Is that what that's buying? TV ads?
Well, I can't think of anything else that's...
What else are they going to spend it on?
I don't know. They buy a bus.
Yeah?
They could buy a bus. I think they've bought the bus by now. I think they've bought the plane by now. In fact, I'm sure they've bought their plane. I think I've seen the plane. I think they've bought buses, planes. They've got campaign headquarters. What do you do? I think you have campaign headquarters in all... With that money, what you have to do now is you got to spend it on the real... you got to spend it on what's called the metrics. Do you know what the metrics are?
Well, are you talking about now the math and the...
Yes, the metrics. You got to spend it on the actual numbers-crunching infrastructure. So what have you got? Who are your people that are going to head up the focus groups, the surveying the demographics? How many of this? How many of that? What states you're strong in? How many delegates? What are the counties? These guys have got it down to a science. You run for president of the United States, and this is something that, I could never explain to people. People never understood this. We're, as an American people, as a voting, as just a voters, we are at least 30 years behind what's really going on in terms of our knowledge. In terms of our knowledge. I'll give you an example. 2008, there's Obama. He's breaking bread with this scumbag Ayers. He's having lunch with a guy that may be a socialist. This, that, this, that. Everybody jumps on that. I understand, because they're going to make hay while the sun shines. Oh, my God, the guy's a socialist. Look what he did. And all these dumbasses, like Beck and the rest of them, excuse me, Glenn, but, you know, in any event, they get on TV, and they're talking all this crap like it means something. Oh, yeah, Obama's a socialist. And what they never did understand, when you look at the kind of money these guys are raising, we all say the same thing. Look at all the money that's going to waste. We never say this. It costs a lot of money to get elected president of the United States. And it does. It costs a lot of money to get elected president of the United States. Why? Well, because it costs a lot of money. I don't know why it does. Now, if it costs a lot of money to be elected president of the United States, and you're a guy that wants to be president of the United States, even though you're a Democrat, and you're black, and you've got the Democratic Party, which is a party that will entertain, a lot. I'm sorry, but the Democratic Party will entertain a black candidate much quicker than the Republicans. Excuse me for saying it, but it's true. It still isn't a party that's going to say, that's just going to jump for joy. Oh, great. We got a black guy. We're running for president. They're not going to do that. You have to convince them. They're not going to dump a bunch of money on your ass. They're not going to say, oh, well, let's run a black guy. We've had 8 years of George Bush. What's our best shot at becoming, getting a black guy? A guy that no one's ever heard of. A guy with a weird-ass name. A guy that was, his father was born in Kenya and whatever the hell else. All kinds of baggage. Let's go ahead and run this guy. Boy, have we got a chance for that. They are not going to buy it. They're not even going to go near him. So what did Obama do? He's got to go out and he's got to, what?
Got to raise money.
Raise money. Now, I don't know if anybody listening to me right now knows anything about raising money, but I can tell you this. You go places that some people probably don't think you should go. You talk to people that some people probably don't think you should talk to. You shake hands, you knock on doors, you sit down on couches, and you have drinks with people that some people may not think you should be having drinks with. But your job is not to, you're not creating a photo album of family pictures. You're not, this isn't some kind of a social club you're looking to form. You're looking for money. And who are the guys that are going to give money to you, a black face? I'll tell you who they are. And you know who they are. You're going to go to the lefties, some of these cats that are left-leaning, some of these socialists. You go wherever you got to go to get the money you need to run for president of the United States. Because if an African-American in this country sat around in his dead ass expecting all of the beautiful people of the world to just start dumping money in his lap because, guess what? This is just the greatest thing in the world. We'll elect a black guy. We are never going to have a black president. We'll never have a black president. These guys, Obama knew what he had to do. He had to go out and he had to knock on every door. And so they got pictures of him knocking on this door. They got pictures of him knocking on another door. But people that took that stuff serious, excuse me for saying, they don't even know. As the saying goes, they don't know what time it is out on the street.
Yeah,
they don't. And they don't know what time it is. And guess what? Their political party or the party they follow, or the individuals that they listen to, they manipulate their brains every which way. Oh, yeah. Look at Obama, man. He sat down with Ayers. Man, what a socialist. What a commie. Oh, yeah. Can't have that, can it? I mean, you want to buy that? Fine. But you could see a mile away, if you were thinking about it, what it was Obama was trying to do. Today, at the end of his first 4 years, he's got Democrats, progressives, lefties, left-leaning, whatever the hell you want to call them, who think he's the second coming of George Bush. George Bush light. He's a freaking fascist. He's a pro-military. Oh, my goodness gracious. How did this happen? We elected a flower power progressive, and this guy went out and put one right straight through the head of Osama bin Laden, and he's still over there in Afghanistan. And another thing, tough.
Well, I just listened to all of that with shock. As a matter of fact, I've got to go change my...
Why?
None of your business.
You had an accident?
Yes, I did.
Margaret just had an accident in her slacks.
Excuse me. Give me... You don't...
Get away from my microphone.
You have no right.
So I said something so shocking there that our resident progressive, Margaret Gray, just streaked her panty liner.
Wow. Man, that... I wish you hadn't said that, because that brings up all kinds of really disgusting thoughts.
All right, well, let's, speaking of a, never mind. Speaking of a commercial break, I'm kidding. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I had an accident, if anyone's interested.
Welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. I wanted to just do a little tutorial, if you will, on our daily podcast, because I think you might find it illustrative. This, as you probably can see, is the homepage of a site that we call philhendryradio.com. But you can find this at philhendryshow.com. But if you go to our website, let me just show you. If those of you who are on Phil TV, maybe you see this. But you're not sure what it means. Those of you who are not yet BSPs, then you go over here to that banner, you punch that, and you hit this podcast banner here. And when you finally do hit that podcast banner, you see this list of episodes. And our most recent episode is episode 59. Vernon Dozier has had to take a second job, quote, wearing a paper hat, as he puts it at a sandwich shop, whatever that means, as he puts it at a sandwich shop, piling it high and deep for people that don't appreciate him. Okay, now I know what that means. Basically, what it means is this. I cannot grammatically make myself understood. So, having said that, let me get rid of this. This is driving me crazy. All right, so having said all of that, what I wanted to do was play you a little bit of it, but it is a Vernon Dozier bit that we're very proud of called Pilot High and Deep. Grammatically, that's just jacked up.
Well, Phil, you're the one that writes these descriptions.
How did I put that? Vernon Dozier is working at a sandwich shop, and he's wearing a paper hat. Vernon has to take a second job wearing a paper hat, as he puts it, at a sandwich shop, piling it high and deep for people that don't appreciate him, from 2005. Okay. So if you go over there and you hit that link, you'll be able to listen to our podcast. That podcast, by the way, is free, but it won't be forever. We are laying these podcasts on people for free, and I want to get rid of this iTunes because it's really driving me ape, bud.
Yeah, sorry.
It won't be forever, and at some point we'll probably still, I don't know, offer it up, but it'll be as part of our subscription package. Let me just see what this sounds like.
Hello,
here.
Hello, it's Phil Hendry. It's time for another episode of the Phil Hendry Podcast, brought to you by Amazon.
Well, there you go. That's our podcast. And then we
backstage pass gets you access to all of these great.
We have a little ad.
Full shows.
And then we jump right into the podcast, which sounds sort of like a bit from our show.
Which
and it is
where I wear a paper hat. I wear plastic gloves, I put on a paper hat, and I put on a paper apron, and I sit there, and I, as patiently as I can, I say, welcome to, the store name, may I help you? Yeah, give me...
I'm laughing.
Pilot ham on high.
You laughing there?
That's why I paused. I was probably laughing. So that's Vernon Dozier as he is describing how humiliating it is to be a teacher who has to take a second job at a Subway shop. It wasn't a Subway, but it was a sandwich shop.
Well, he's making a very good point.
Well, absolutely he's making a good point. But here's the thing. It's amazing to me how many people don't get it. In other words, there was Vernon saying, you understand that I'm a teacher? Yes. And you understand that I do my very best to teach? Yes. And you understand that we don't get paid enough? Yeah. So I have to take a second job as working at a sandwich shop. How does that make you feel? And everybody that called was the same. Well, you could do another job. In other words, nobody got the pathetic reality of that. A teacher has to take a second job working at a sandwich shop.
Well, a lot of people take a second job.
All right, let's say just a second job. But this was back when the economy was flush. This was back when everybody had bread,
Well, I hope so. He works at a sandwich shop. Just a little joke. Well, why aren't you laughing?
Because it sucks. That's...
Yeah, it sucked. Wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I just streaked again.
Do me a favor. Don't tell me every time you have an accident in your underwear.
Don't it?
Boy, her voice just cracked. Or mine did. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And, of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com for all of your needs. all of the things that you need, all of the things that you may need, all of the things that you don't have and that you wish you had, go to philhenryshow.com. If we don't have it, we'll find someone that does have it. If we have it, we'll still try and find someone that doesn't have it to make us look better that we do have it. Get a backstage pass and enjoy thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours of outstanding radio comedy, audio comedy at philhenryshow.com. Until tonight at 10 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.